Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, the first 11 verses, but especially verse 4. Jesus prayed, "Father, I have brought you glory by completing the work you gave me to do." I recently read about the worst gifts that are given on Mother's Day. This is a survey, and we're down to 500 moms and asked to name their best and their worst Mother's Day gifts. And they were also asked to indicate the gifts that they most wish for this year. The poll reveals that the gifts that made mothers cringe, now including carpet cleaner, a thigh master, a night out at their husband's favorite restaurant, and a card that read, "Reupholster the chair in the master bedroom." According to 500 U.S. moms, the worst gifts ever were, number one, simply forgetting Mother's Day, two, kitchen appliances, three, gardening tools, four, cleaning supplies, and five, dead and poorly arranged flowers. But according to the poll, the best gifts ever given were jewelry, home and school-made cards, home and school-made gifts. So kids, moms really like it when you make stuff in school for them. A day at the spa, of course. Help with chores or a day of rest. And beauty products. But I think besides all this, perhaps the best thing you can say is simply, "Mom, I love you. And I appreciate all you do, and I thank God for you." This brings glory to any mother. Now, I raise this because our text today is about Jesus and how he brings glory to the Father. How he did that was not by buying a gift, but by showing his love. And in our text today, in the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, we see three ways in which the Son brings glory to the Father, all of which involve us personally. First of all, revealed the Father to us, Jesus prays for us, and Jesus went back to the Father. Ask anyone who God is, they will tell you that he is the supreme being, the creator of all that is, the big guy in the sky, or other such ideas. This is natural to everybody. We all have this natural sense of the divine. Ancient religions tried to put a face and a name on this unknown God. Marxism said that it had conquered the outdated notion of a supreme being. And now we look back and see that Marxism is all but outmoded itself. All previous attempts to communicate with God involved obedience. You gave a sacrifice, something you valued, some silver or some gold, some grain, an animal, even a son or a daughter. Yes, human sacrifice was one way of trying to get God's attention. But none of these ever worked. And you know why? It's because with God, obedience has to be total, never partial. Jesus said, "Whoever keeps the whole law of God and yet stumbles in one little part of it is guilty of breaking all of it." A few years ago, business people were talking about something called total quality management, focusing on every aspect of the product, striving for perfection. As a human being, you can never reach perfection. You can always do better. The Bible knows this. The Bible says to us, "Who will ascend into heaven?" In other words, who can meet God on his own level? Well, no one. The true God is always a mystery to us from our own performance. No matter how hard you try to obey God, no matter how good you perceive yourself as, you can never meet God's standard for perfection. Well, people try, and people get so full of themselves that they think they can bring glory to God by how obediently they live their life. But you ever notice that the people who seem to talk about this in the end are the ones who fall the hardest? And so far, it's true. The first thing that Jesus did that brings glory to the Father in our text is revealing the Father to us. He says it in verse 6 of our text. He says, I have revealed you to those you gave me out of the world. You have come out of the world, so to say, to see the Father. You have taken a step outside the world's delusion that it is not really broken, but all you need is a fix-up, a repair, just to try a little harder in your life, to be better, to be more obedient. And you can attain that righteousness that God expects. I hope you know that this is a lie. The book of Romans, quoting the Psalm, says, there is no one who is righteous. No one. And there is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away and have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. That's you and me that this passage is talking about. But the wonderful thing that Jesus has done is to reveal the truth about our Heavenly Father. He knows our situation, and he doesn't demand outward perfection that he won't supply for us. That's why Jesus preferred to entertain with tax collectors and prostitutes rather than the priests of his day. At least they knew what they needed from God, mercy. And that's what they received, free and full forgiveness for all of their sins. And by believing in Jesus, they could see that he had supplied this to them. No wonder they worshiped him. Only God himself can forgive a person's sins. Jesus took all the sins of the world upon himself on the cross. This was his work. This is what brought glory to him, because it glorified his Father who sent him to do this. His work was to die for sins, and his glory was to show how much God loved the world, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life in the name of the Son. This is the Father that Jesus revealed to those who God gave him. Notice that Jesus says that God gave these people out of the world. Once you follow Jesus, you can never go back to the God of self-perfection. You know that everything Jesus gives you ultimately comes from the Heavenly Father, and you can't take a substitute for that. The second way that we find in our text that Jesus brought glory to the Father was to pray for us. The whole text is the beginning of a prayer that lasts for the whole 17th chapter of John. On Mother's Day, we think about the prayers of mothers for children, for their sons and daughters. When they're out on prom night, you better believe when midnight rolls around, mom's praying that everything comes out all right and they get home safe and sound. And when the kids grow up and they're off to college, she's praying that they're going off to study and not just to party. And when they walk down the aisle at their wedding, mom's there in that front pew and she's praying that this union will last. I don't think moms ever stop praying for their children, do they? No matter how old the kids get. Jesus prayed for his 12 disciples, for all who followed him. And then in verse 9 he said, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. You see, Jesus prayed for his disciples that night before he was crucified, for Peter, that stout-hearted fisherman, and for Andrew, his brother, for John, that teenager who loves Jesus so much that sometimes he would come up and put his head down in Jesus' lap, and his older brother, James. Together they were the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. Jesus prayed for them that night. He prayed for these dear men he loved so much, and today he prays for us. That's why he ascended to heaven. to be that intermediary between God and man, between the God who demands perfection and us who are so imperfect. Jesus is that one and only mediator between God and man. Only he can do it, because only he is the high priest and the sacrifice he offers at the same time. His blood poured out on Calvary was the only remedy that can make us clean again. So now there he is in the throne room of heaven. Can you picture him there? And his work there is continuing today. Jesus is there before the throne of the Father, and he's making prayers of intercession for each one of us. Oh, Holy Father, don't look upon the sin of Jim and Lisa, of Richard and Linda. Look upon me. And though through me let them be seen as clean and as pure as you, O Holy Father, intended them to be. Give them the things they really need, and surround them with your protection so that the devil doesn't come and take them away from us. This intercessory prayer brings us the glory of God, and it brings glory to the Father, just as we pray here today at our altar for the church and for the world, the nations, and for the people who need our prayers. The third way that Jesus brings glory to the Father in this text is by leaving us and returning to heaven. When the disciples complained about him, talking about going away and not coming back for a while, so that he must go and the Comforter would come, Jesus told them that this was what had to be done. You see, Jesus' earthly work for us was just about finished. When he died on the cross the next day, he said it, "It is finished." And what is finished? Why, only the salvation of the world. The work that needed to be completed was something the Holy Spirit would do from there on. He would work here and there throughout the world, working faith wherever it's needed. Here and there, he would do it. Through the preaching of the name of this Jesus, glory comes to the Father when people are brought to believe, to repent of their sins and believe and trust in the forgiveness that Jesus worked for the world. When we in our hearts can say, yes, Lord, I am a poor, miserable sinner. And yes, Jesus took my sin on the cross. Then the Father is glorified. And he glorifies the Son who provided this work for us. Now, Jesus in his earthly body could only preach this if he stayed with us here and there, one person in one place at a time. But the Holy Spirit he sends preaches in every pulpit, in every sermon that is faithful to that word of God written for us in the Holy Bible. This would not happen unless the Holy Spirit was sent to us and remains with us to this very day, giving the spoken word to lift our souls to heaven. What a blessed threefold present Jesus has brought to his heavenly Father. He revealed the Father to us, he prays for us to the Father, and he ascended to heaven to bring the Holy Spirit to us. We are truly blessed. And God the Father is glorified because this was always his desire for us. Now, being Mother's Day, I thought I would bring a little advice to those of you who had not gotten a gift for your mothers. One thing I've learned about successful presents for women is that they should not have an electrical cord or a battery pack attached to them. Man, your mother doesn't want an electric egg beater or a toaster or a set of power head shears for the garden. You might like such things, but for her that means work. If you plug it in, it means work. And Mom has already had enough of that. Instead, you should get her something that accents her beauty, and you will have glorified her. On this last Sunday of the Festival of the Resurrection of our Lord, we see the glory of Jesus that he has brought to the Father, and we rejoice in it. and we glorify Jesus in turn. Thanks be to God. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts to life everlasting.